I want to go back now to the very beginning, the 1963 tour, which of course was the point at which Judith and I met Master Kripal for the first time, physically. I'm reading from my recent book. The Master spent the summer in Europe. He flew into Washington, D.C. on September 1st, 1963. We left the kids with my parents and drove down to see him, not without some apprehension. We were expecting so much from him. How could we help but be disappointed? We missed his arrival at the airport, but drove straight to Mr. Khanna's house on Delafield Place, where he was staying. When we got there, it was about 3:30 p.m., and Mr. Khanna told us that Master was just leaving for the Friends Meeting House to hold satsang, and we could follow him over. We jumped in the car, backed into a driveway across the street so that we were facing the house directly, and just at that instant, Master came out. We had a marvelous darshan for just half a minute. Even now, after seeing him many hundreds of times, I cannot forget that first incredible sight of him coming out of the house and getting into the car. Just the way he held his magnificent head and walked out was moving beyond words. At sight of him, Judith burst into tears, and I was overwhelmed with a sense of my own triviality. Seeing him, I understood instantly why the books lay such stress on the company of saints. Master stayed in Washington for 27 days, but we were only there for three of them. The work on our house was calling us back. But a number of things happened in those 3 days that were memorable. The second day, September 2nd, he met with many of us very informally in his room at Mr. Khanna's house. This was the first time we had seen him up close, and we were able to get a sense of what he was like. It was wonderful. Mr. Walter Cowan, a very prominent disciple from California, asked him, "What can we do to promote harmony throughout all our groups?" And the Master answered as follows. "First of all, we should forgive and forget the past. That is the foremost necessity. As I told you in my talk last night, many misunderstandings creep up, and the majority of them are due to hearing through the eyes of others and seeing through the ears of others. Hearing through the ears of others and seeing through the eyes of others. Take it as if they had not told you. Then you will be all right. Whatever has been done, if it is at all true that it happened, cannot be mended now. We have to forget. I tell you, the man who can forget is a very strong man. The majority of men cannot forgive. Forgiveness requires a very big heart. And how can those who do not like to forgive others expect forgiveness from God? We wish that we would be forgiven. We pray for that, is it not so? He will forgive us only if we forgive others too. If we don't forgive the God in others, how can the God who is there in others forgive us? Do you see? The first thing is to forgive. Not only to forgive, but to forget. Start afresh. And in the future, don't believe what others say. Others say what they have heard or seen. Unless you see something for your own selves or hear it with your own ears, don't believe it. If somebody tells you something unbecoming, know that a man has different moods. We are not perfect. If we have love for others, that very love beautifies even the worst of things. You have to see from that level. That's the only way. This is what should be done about the past. As for the future, you have to start your slate afresh. Many little things are already embedded in your mind. When others sometimes say, oh yes, it must be like that, You see it through the smoky glasses of the many things already lying within you. So the first thing I would say is to forgive and forget. And along with that, keep your diaries, introspect your day-to-day life, enter any infirmities on your part in your diaries, and try to weed them out. This is the outward thing. The other is to devote regular time to the meditation practices. Both these together will work wonderfully. If you sit by fire, all cold will be gone. If you come in contact with the light and sound principle, naturally all infirmities will leave you. That is its effect. Some infirmities will go by outer self-introspection, and others will leave you by coming in contact with the God power within. In this way you will grow in love. When love overflows, everything becomes new to us, and we will also have more progress from within. One thing which is still more important than all these is to know that we are working for one common cause. As I told you last night, we have been brought into a relationship that can never end or break, even after death. We are grateful we have the human body. We are grateful we have some experience to start with on the way. And we are more grateful that we have been linked in such a relationship that it can never be broken. If anybody who is related to you, for instance your child, slaps you in the face, what would you do? Would you kill him? You would simply say, all right, he is ignorant, that's all. When all of you are working for the one common cause before you, the more one can do, the better. The more each man can do, the more he will be respected by others. But mind that there should not be any egoistic feeling in what you do, that you are the greater man. Take the word world, W-O-R-L-D. If you eliminate the L from it, what remains is word. The word is God. If you eliminate yourself, the thought that you are doing it, you are God's. You become the mouthpiece of God. I think if you put this into practice for 2 or 3 months, you will find a radical change. Sometimes there is this spirit. Well, I know more. I am more important. We are important insofar as God works through us, and we are working all for Him. There is no need of caring whether anybody is watching you work or not. Be true to Him. He is within you. I think that in a very short time you will see for your own selves. You will grow more in love. If another man can do more, or if anybody comes up to help you, the more fortunate you are. There is no question of possession or domination. These are very simple things that I think all of you know already. I am not telling you anything new. First of all, we should forgive. We may have little daily dyings. Such and such man told me that. He thinks of me like that. That prepossessed idea is already within you, and you judge everything that happens with these smoky glasses. I think this will give you progress from day to day. You will find more love, and we should have confidence and trust in all those who are on the way. You can also have trust in others, for there are good people everywhere. But God knows you are selected to be good people. I remember an event in the time of the third guru of the six, Guru Amar Das. The man who was initiated was giving his small child a bath in the river, and somebody came running up to him and said, "Master wants you." What did he do? He left the child right where it was and ran to the master. And others asked him, "What are you doing? Your child will drown." "Oh, my brother is with him," he answered. We should have such like trust and confidence in one another. When we are all working for the same cause, what more is wanted? Don't look from the individual angle of vision. We have to look from the angle of vision we have been given. But this can develop only if we have no evil thought about anybody else. Even if anybody else does, it does not harm you. It harms you only when you take it for yourself. It so happened that somebody came up to Lord Buddha and began to call him names like anything. Sometimes you find such opposition comes up because there are rivals or parties. He came in the evening and he went on this way into the night. When a man is in an angry mood, he forgets everything all around him. It got dark. Then he thought, oh, it is getting dark. I have to go back. As he was turning away, the Buddha told him, well, look here, dear friend. Yes, what do you have to say? Look here. If someone brings a present and the person for whom he has brought it does not accept it, with whom does that present remain? Well, naturally, with the one who has brought it. Well, whatever present you have brought me, I do not accept. These are the lessons we learn from the lives of great men. I have been very fond of reading biographies ever since I was a student. You'll find there is something in each great man. We have to just follow in their footsteps. I tell you, to reach God is not difficult, but to make a man, a genuine human being, that is difficult. We are all on the way to perfection, some 10%, some 20%, some 40%, but we are not yet fully perfect. But we have to be perfect as our Father is in heaven. That is our goal. And God loves all, even those who call him names, who do not believe in him. Is it not so? If you want to realize the God in you, you should also do the same. I think this is the way. I have told you no new thing, but we should start with a clean heart. What is past, it should be forgotten. First forgiven and then forgotten. Even in forgiving, we say, oh, I have already forgiven you. Why should I forgive you again? This was put to Master Jesus. He was asked, what should we do to forgive others? How many times should we forgive them? What do the scriptures say? 7 times? Jesus said, I say, forgive him 70 times 7. This scripture is not only meant for reading or ruminating over. It is to be learned. Whatever you learn should become part and parcel of your life, and you will change like anything. I think that you have put a very good question. I already gave you a hint yesterday that it is all up to us. If Mr. Khanna is there, or you are there, or Mrs. Kelly is there, or anybody, A, B, C, or D is there, they are working for the cause of the Master. There may be little flaws here or there, but if we look from the angle of love, we will see that everyone is doing his best in his own way. One thing more, we should learn appreciation of others. If you learn even that much, I think that it will sweep away all the dirt. It won't add any more dirt to it. Whatever little a man does, appreciate it. If he does more, appreciate it still more. Appreciation, I think, will save you from adding more trouble, more dirt to your mind. We don't appreciate others, I tell you. We all say, I have done the most. What I can do, nobody else can do. When that I-hood enters in, it spoils the whole show. A little poison added even to something sweet will kill you. So again, it is not difficult to reach God, but it is difficult to make a man. It takes time. The human body is the golden opportunity we have, and we can do it. Each man can change. There is hope for everybody. Every saint has his past, and every sinner a future. A man who is now reading in the MA class or has a PhD was once reading in the primary class. And if a man who is now reading in the primary class gets the same help and guidance, he too can get the same degree. We should look at everybody from his level. If you have an MA or a higher degree and you think, oh, why does he not do as I am doing? That involves some condescension. These things, little by little added up, give the mind unrest. They also drive away every iota of love within you. Forgive and forget. Have appreciation for whatever anyone does. Do work for the sake of the common cause we have formed. Don't feel that others do less. Why not do your best? Each one should do his best and have appreciation for one another. I think this would be a very good ground for your meditation too. These small thoughts vibrate. If you strike a small wire, it continues vibrating for some time. Every little thought vibrates. That is why, for some reason or another, our meditations are sometimes not good. You will remain a man outwardly. Master is a man like you. He has only two eyes, not four, do you see? He passes through the world and he becomes an example for others too. He does not have four hands or 4 feet for walking, but he has developed inwardly. You can also develop in this way, with proper help and guidance. Mr. Khanna asked the people in the back of the room if they could hear, which they could. And then Master says, I don't give lectures, you see, I give heart-to-heart talks. Then Jerry Astra Turk, the group leader from Miami, said, there are 3 beautiful children outside and they are waiting for days to see you. Can I bring them in? And Master replied, surely, oh yes, bring them in. Suffer little children to come. They are the budding hopes of the coming generation. The budding hopes. The children, teenagers from the neighborhood, did come in, and then someone said, Master, give us that parable about bending the elbows again, would you please? And the master said, the parable goes that the god Vishnu, who provides for the world, the same god, but the aspect that is demarcated for a certain function, invited all the good and bad people, the gods and the demons, and prepared a very big banquet for them. The food was laid out and seats were arranged for everyone. They all sat together. Naturally, in events of this kind, the host has to say something. He said, oh, my dear friends, I welcome you. But there's one condition I have made, and that is, when you eat your food, don't bend your arms. Of course, only when you bend your arm will the food reach your mouth, not otherwise. It is all for you. Enjoy it. Those people who were called bad had not developed. The demons racked their brains and thought, well, what are we to do? How are we to reach our mouths? They could not find any solution. So they said, perhaps we have been simply ridiculed, and they left the place. But the others who were still there said, there must be something in it. Those who are developed do not say anything unnecessary. When you hear something from them, there is some meaning in it, something in it. We should try to understand. They came to the conclusion, yes, he said something very good. All right, we won't bend our arms. We will simply take the food and stretch out our arms and feed each other. If you stretch out your hand, it will reach my mouth. My hands will reach your mouth. This is a parable from which we have to learn. We only want to feed our own selves. If you would make others eat, make others happy, then I think all would be happy. There could be nobody who would remain unhappy. Share with others. This is given in all scriptures. They laid down the law of tithing, that is, giving something for the good of all the people. Some start with 1/40th until everything is given away for God. If we learn to share with others, there will be no feeling of otherness. What is causing all the trouble? One brother is rich, the other is poor. This one has been killed. That one is going hungry. Another does not care. I told some governors I met during this tour that all the problems of the governments will be solved. I told them, look here, you have been given custody of certain people under you. look after their convenience to the best you can. Have love of service. Service of humanity is service of God. God has entrusted you with that. No matter what the number of people your country has, let them be served. You are responsible to God for that. If one country has more people to serve than it can manage, let the people of other countries manage to provide for them or transfer them to their country. Everything can be solved, and in two or three cases they did change. We should think that whatever we have, others certainly have the same right. In our dominating spirits, we simply spoil the show, just for a little I-hood. The L should be eliminated from world, and the word will remain. These things are given in our scriptures, but we simply ruminate and go on devouring anything, not taking anything to heart and making it part and parcel of our lives. When I was young, I used to read my scriptures of the six. It's a very voluminous book, covering over 1,400 pages, big size, and I think there are hundreds of hymns in it. I used to read only one hymn and then put it down in writing. I considered that that was the lesson given to me for the day. I read it once, twice, four times, all throughout the day and sometimes for 2 days. If we read scriptures in that way, I think we will change. We simply read them and then forget what is written there. We listen to a talk and on the same day we forget what the subject of the talk was. We should first learn wholeheartedly by attending wholeheartedly and then grasp the meaning and make it part and parcel of our lives. The food which is digested will give you strength. If the food is not digested, it will create some disease, some ferment in the body. This is what has to be done. Everyone knows what is best, but we simply learn and forget. Don't learn anything to be forgotten. Learn one thing and others will follow. Learn to love and everything will be all right. Service will follow. Sacrifice will follow. Everything will follow. Love always knows giving. One who loves won't eat, he will give to others. A mother won't eat even if she has to take the morsel out of her own mouth and give it to the child. Similarly, make one point in your life definite. Other things will follow. Be truthful. If you always tell the truth, who you are, what you are doing now, what you were doing last night, naturally, if you are doing anything wrong, you will be ashamed. You will try not to do it again. Similarly, if you digest one thing and make it part and parcel of your life will change. I think so many of you know so much, perhaps in many cases more than I do intellectually, but the difference is only that you have not digested it. That's all. Mr. Khanna said, I think all group leaders and representatives are requested to get together at 3:30 for an hour or so we can talk things over in the presence of the master. It is just for the leaders. And Master said, the leaders are as dear to me as you are. But if they have any difficulties in their work, we can have a heart-to-heart talk. It's only because you have some practical difficulties bothering you. This is what I suggested at the very beginning in 1955, that all representatives who were chosen should lay their heads together at regular intervals so as to see what the difficulties are and if there can be any solution to them. If all of you sit together and love each other, it will be a very good example for others. If you don't meet with any other person and you are talking too highly about your own self and denouncing others, that's a bad name on the very movement. Do you follow me? Someone asked, Master, would you just give us a couple of words on love before you go? The Master said, love. What is a sign of love? The questioner repeated, what is a sign of love? The Master said, yes, an outer sign. The one whom you remember, whom you love, is never forgotten, even in your dreams. So love so much that even in dreams you see him. Even in your deep sound sleep, you may be giving out the same thing. Out of the abundance of heart, a man speaks. That's all. The following day, September 3rd, Mr. Khanna had scheduled a press conference at the National Press Club building. I believe that was the name of the building. And we all went to see how the press would deal with the master. But when we got there, there was no press. As somebody said, you can schedule a press conference, but you can't make them come. So we were all recruited to find reporters and persuade them to come. Betty Shiflett, an older disciple, and I went together, and we found a reporter for Newsweek in her office. We talked very fast, and I showed her a picture of the master I carried in my wallet, and she agreed to come with us. When we got back down to the auditorium, there were a number of reporters there, and one of them was talking with the master. After listening to him a little bit, my heart sank. There was no doubt that that reporter had been drinking. But Master listened to him very patiently, answered all his questions, and treated him with great respect. In the meantime, the other reporters all got up and left. It seemed like a complete fiasco. Yet the master did not seem to know that. As we were leaving, one of the disciples said, "Master, you know that man was drunk." Master was in great spirits. He laughed and said happily, "That's all right. It was the first time, but not the last, in my experience, that Kripal had a totally different perspective on what was going on than everybody around him." You know, that particular incident, the difference between how the master saw that, of course, I only can tell how he saw it by what he said and did. I didn't have access into the way he was thinking, but it seemed very clear that he saw it very differently from the rest of us. To me, it seemed like it was such a tremendously embarrassing thing, you know, like, here's the master of the universe. It's like the reporters don't even want to come and talk to him. And then when they do come, they mess it up. And from the master's point of view, you know, what he saw, that reporter who monopolized, who'd been drinking, he saw the human being within him, the spark of God within him, and he related to that, and he addressed himself to that. And he did not care about the fact that he had been drinking. It was not anything, and he didn't care about the fact that the other reporters left. In other words, what was going on from his point of view was something totally different from what was going on from everyone else's point of view. I mean, the main thing that was going on, as far as you could tell, was that he was connecting with that one person, and that's what he was there to do. In my experience with Master Kripal, as well as with Sanchi, this is a very common refrain over and over again, that we think something is going a certain way and we have a certain outlook on it, but the master sees it entirely differently. And that's the way it has to be, because he's looking from a very different angle of vision. I just want to conclude with a section from circular number 4, Master Kripal's circular letter from the late 50s, about New Year's. "Standing at the crossroads of time, we must make a firm resolve to do better from day to day, at least from the New Year's day that beckons us on with a promise of rosy dawn. As there are landmarks on earth, so there are landmarks in time. The past and future are like sealed books to us. The one is in the limbo of oblivion, while the other is in the womb of uncertainty. It is only the living present that is ours, and we must make the best use of it, ere it slips away through the fingers and is lost forever. Human birth is a great privilege and offers us a golden opportunity. It is for us to make or mar the same, for it is given to each individual to forge his or her own destiny as best he may. With lots of love and hearty best wishes to you all for a bright and happy new year.